Good evening. Welcome to the special Village Board meeting for Monday, September 18th. It's about 7:06. If I can ask the clerk to please take the roll call.
Trustee Corsini.
Here.
Trustee Cargi.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez. Trustee Conti.
Here.
Trustee Hennig.
Here.
Trustee Gibbs.
Here.
President Adusi.
I am here. I believe no citizen comments. Mike, could you?
Nope.
Okay, good. All right, so we are here for the purpose of discussing and approving the resolution authorizing the execution of an amended and restated redevelopment agreement for Lake Street and Lathrop Avenue. Do we need a motion on this?
Yes.
Okay, so if I can have someone move in second so we can have discussion.
I make a motion authorizing the execution of the resolution before us.
Okay. Can I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. All right. Well, we do have Marty Paris from Sedgwick here. Before we get, maybe bring Marty up to have a little discussion and maybe question and answer session, maybe if Eric, you can talk us through the redevelopment agreement. I hope everyone had enough time to.
Well, Kathy, as I said, it's changed from what we got on Friday.
Yes.
And so
yes.
I don't even know what's, I haven't had a chance to look at it.
Okay.
So I'm a little bit concerned about voting tonight on something that we're just getting now.
Okay. Well, I'd like to vote on it because we've got a lot of dates in here that will move.
Well, I know. But
okay.
Why don't we
go through it?
Yeah.
And see where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead. So
okay.
Let's talk about the major differences.
Yeah, primarily. So I'll walk you through the changes that were made from Friday afternoon to this afternoon. So in terms of 1.04, the marketing, pre-sales, and pre-construction activity, there's still language that talks about the monthly reports shall be provided by the developer on the basis that the information and data in the monthly reports are trade secrets and commercial or financial information obtained by the village from the developer. And it goes on from there. Essentially what that does is and we run into the situation occasionally with proprietary information from businesses. There is an exception in the Freedom of Information Act, so developer will continue to provide those reports on marketing to the village. If they don't, it does not trigger a default, though. So that's one other thing to point out. It does talk about starting those efforts on November 1st, 2017, and then also shall make its best efforts to begin public marketing of the project in March 1st of 2018.
What paragraph?
This is 104 on page
1.04.
Mm-hmm.
So best efforts define.
Well, marketing. And, you know, here, look, at the end of the day, the developer is going to try to market this as best they can to get as many pre-sales as they can. So, while I would agree there's not an objective data point in here, the objective data point comes back to the 20% pre-sales that they have to have by 6/1/18, excuse me.
20% or 40%?
20%.
So that's changed too from what we had on Friday?
Yes.
The last clause of that paragraph negates the entire paragraph.
Well, it'd be by not terminating, you're saying?
Right, that we no longer have the deposit anymore because that's now being applied to our costs of the development review process. So basically it's saying you should do this, but if you don't do it, we don't care.
Well, we don't because simply the 20, think about it, Tom. The date that's most important is the date of how much pre-sales developer actually does. Now, if he starts sooner, that's their prerogative. We want them to start sooner because we want some activity. That's why this paragraph is, you know, in there. But the real date is you know, really the June 1st date for a go-no-go decision.
But we haven't seen urgency from this developer, I mean, throughout this entire process, even with regard to this agreement. And so my concern is that we're going to get to June 1st, and there's going to be nowhere. And so we could have cut this off on March 1st, at least give us 3 more months to find someone else. That's my concern. We keep pushing back these dates, and we keep pushing back the points of commitment. And so, you know.
I don't see it that way.
No, I do.
Okay, fair enough. I just don't see it that way. I see it slightly different. I say we finally got an agreement with Sedgwick that we've had, you know, so we've only worked with Sedgwick for the last 8 months, not, I mean, that's a different issue. And I think the dates, we've never had really dates, go-no-go dates in contracts before. So I think this gives us a lot more commitment than we've had. We've had redevelopment agreement, you know, planned development agreement dates, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have construction dates in the old contract. They're not in this one anymore, right?
Right, because we've changed the outline of the agreement to focus more on the 6/1, 8/1 dates. So in the developer has agreed to provide these monthly status reports to the village so that at least we are aware of the progress or lack of progress, I guess for lack of a better term, that it would be making. So in the event we saw a lack of complete progress as we moved through this, and I'm happy to share these reports with the board, we could certainly have a conversation with the developer and discuss those.
Right.
All right. So that was 104. Let me move on here.
Are you just going through all the red lines or the red lines that were changed from Friday?
Yeah, the latter. So okay. Just the things.
Well, do you want us to go through the red lines come out?
Yeah, I think that would be helpful.
That's fine. That's fine. And then we'll note where they have changed, of course.
I think that would be helpful because there may be some questions on the red line that we haven't really talked about today.
I agree.
Is that too complicated?
It's not that it's complicated. I just set everything up for what we had done, but I guess we could go back.
Yeah, let's go back. I think that's a good point.
All right, let me think of which version I want to go back to.
There wasn't any between that
one. No, in this one. I mean, there was some back and forth between the developer, but the final, the one that was sent Friday and the one today is what we will discuss.
So I can walk through the changes that I had sent you last week first, and then we can take it and step through the changes between.
Like at the same time or after
Friday?
What's easier for you?
Well, with one computer screen, it's probably easier to do one individually, and then we can go through it again. So on the marketing pre-sales, this is going back to 104. This was really new, a new concept to begin with that we didn't even have previously in the agreement. So what we ended on here at the end is, let me go back here. You have to be a little patient so I can go between windows here. Again, what we agreed upon is language that says they will provide monthly reports. Those monthly reports will fall under 7.1G of the exclusion under FOIA. The developer shall make its best efforts to begin public marketing of the proposed of the project, including on-site signage and any on-site sales office, no later than March 1st. However, the developer shall not be in default of its on-site marketing obligations in this agreement if the March 1, 2018 deadline is not met. And part of that, from the developer standpoint, is that the marketing pre-sales component is somewhat fluid, right? And so while they generally believe that there will be on-site sales of some sort, depending on how the behind-the-scenes marketing sales are going, they may adjust those dates based on that. So I don't think it would be reasonable to put from a marketing. I think they need to provide those reports, but to somehow trigger a default because they don't have a sales trailer up doesn't seem reasonable in my mind. Okay, next item. Part of the discussion was committing an additional $40,000 for the insurance policies during our negotiations. And again, this is insurance that will be credited towards a policy for Alsafar's, for him for at closing. And so that $40,000 remains in the agreement. The village will not require the developer to provide any type of profit sharing or anything like that. At the same time, we did not agree to allow for marketing dollars to be paid for out of those committed funds. And more importantly, from the village's standpoint, there had been essentially what was a clawback for the developer in the agreement that would require the village to pay out of pocket the professional expenses and fees for the developer on certain defaults. That has been removed. And so I think that's a very important concept in this agreement. So our hard committed fund dollars is at $1.9 million plus $40,000. And then the other thing that does remain is the backstop on the remediation that we agreed to, that we spent a lot of time working on and negotiating through the first time, and that hasn't changed. All right, next item. In section four, we start to get into deadlines. And so the first deadline we get into is in section 4.01. And I'm gonna try to bring these both along at the same time, so I don't know how successful I'm gonna be in that. Let me back up 1 second. No, that's okay. And I was prepared to do from today and Friday, and I just trying to make sure I don't leave anything. So now I'm going to get like two or three monitors and just attach them to my body and just walk around all the time with computer screens. We did include, so as I talked previously, the architecture costs are included as a reimbursable cost. The marketing is not.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure.
So the architectural costs, is there a limit to that, or?
The 1.9 million plus 40,000.
Okay, so that's it?
Yes.
Okay, so regardless of what they do with architectural design, it's part of that pot?
Yes.
Okay.
How much is left over at property acquisition?
7,000.
Well,
three something,
add
150
four.
Plus some.
Between 100 and 150, because we have to add the 40 back in.
But you can take that out. Right. So roughly 100,000.
$100,000
to
go towards their architectural
cost. Design.
Yeah, please. I mean, they can use it towards architectural. They could use it towards demo. I mean, there's still other expenses that they could use that those funds for.
But
architectural fees is one of them now.
In the event of default,
which is an expense under the TIF Act.
In the event of default, and we get the property back, there's no way we can recover the money that they spend on architectural fees, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's correct. That's correct. But again, my argument back to the board would be you're not going to recoup those dollars at the same time where we don't have the exposure of having to pay over the $1.9 million in the event there was a previous default. Okay, let's see, moving along.
They don't make the deadline, right, which triggers a termination, right?
Right, so.
Yeah, those are sunk costs for us, costs we will not recover. It's a cost of doing business. So, but as Eric said, the prior contract that we approved had us paying the developer their fees, out-of-pocket fees, if they did default. So. there's no real change here. Just was saying, now identified it as architectural cost in the contract. Up front versus paying them at termination. So that's what Eric was saying. There's no real significant change. It's slightly where it triggered, where the cost became cost versus when we paid them.
So you've just under the old agreement, they weren't automatically entitled to reimbursement for the fee. I mean, if there was a default, if it was a default on their part, for instance, they don't file the Development Review Board application. That's a default, and they wouldn't be entitled to any soft costs they'd incurred at that point. So it was only basically if there was market failures, if I remember correctly.
Financing as well.
Yeah. Financing as well. But they have a best effort obligation on financing, right?
That's correct.
What's going to be paid?
Okay. So in other words, it wasn't just simply, we're not just trading apples for apples here. There was a difference in how the architectural fees were paid for.
Well, it wasn't specified. It was fees, right?
That would have right.
I think it is. I don't remember the language, Carmela, but it was pretty close to what the language is today.
This is actually defining.
Yeah, it's more defined.
All right, section 401, we get into some of, we start to get into some of the deadlines. So there, and these deadlines do trigger defaults. November 16th is for a pre-filing conference with the Development Review Board. November 30th, 2017 is when the plan development application needs to be submitted to the village. And then September 29th, which is essentially within 2 weeks, will be the deadline for property acquisition when they have to acquire the LSFR piece. And again, if those deadlines are not met, the village would take the deposit that the performance deposit that's been created and put into place. Excuse me, the village would take the $35,000 deposit, and then we would send notice to have the properties transferred back to the village.
But wouldn't we have already incurred some costs associated with the plan development process by then?
No.
By September 29th.
No, because they wouldn't have submitted an application yet. All right, moving along. Talked about the $35,000 certified check. Essentially, that's going to be a check that'll be deposited with the village. We did talk about different mechanisms to hold those funds, whether it was with the village, with the escrow company. At the end of the day, the developer agreed just to have the money sit with us, and that we will refund it back when they submit their plan development permit, and then they'll come in and provide another check for their escrow. I think I explained to Trustee Hennick today, developers provide the village funds for any professional reviews that go along with a plan development application that pay for our attorneys, pay for our land use, traffic reviews, all those things. So going along to 403 and the remediation and demolition deadlines. Let's back up 1 second here.
Big changes.
So
60 days.
Yeah, so essentially what we agreed to at 4.03 is consistent what we've talked about. Really, there's 2 points. Two deadlines, if you will. The first one becomes this June 1st, 18, which we're calling kind of the go, no-go, based on a 20%, not 40%, pre-sale threshold. And so if the developer has met that and decides to proceed, then essentially they proceed to get their permits and do the demolition and remediation work. If they are not close but elect to have more time, then they can wait 2 months or 60 days by which time that will take you to August 1st, 2018, and at that point in time, they will have to commit to proceeding or giving us the property back. If they choose to proceed, then they've got 60 days to get their demolition permit and actually get a shovel in the ground or demolish a building.
So they have 120 days technically from June 1st.
So they have 60 days from August 1st. So their final go, no-go decision will be August 1st. I mean, here, if they come and say June 1st sales are robust, we're knocking it out of the ballpark, then from there, 60 days to get permitting for demolition and remediation. But if they need more time, it will go August. So the outside date is October 1st when we will see a shovel or a bulldozer, or whatever you want to call it, in the ground.
All right, moving along.
Any other changes on B, right?
Oh, that's the lion's share of it.
That was it. Those are the major changes. Really.
Yeah,
let's
see.
403A.
Hang on a second.
Which one? I thought we just talked about 403A.
Yeah, that's what we
were talking about, Susan. Yeah, so the changes from your last, I think, on Friday was 40 versus 20, which is in our best interest,
yeah.
I think.
The conceptual change between previous agreements and this agreement really talks about the the remediation and demolition becomes a concept, the first concept that's addressed in construction. And so what the developer is saying, instead of doing it separately, they're going to wait until they have the inertia from the pre-sales and are going to proceed with the project, and then everything just moves at once.
So this site will look the same until October 1st at the end, last date, October 1st of 2018.
That's, yeah. That's could be.
Unless they've already met with their pre-sales, which could be August 1st.
Certainly nothing stops them from proceeding earlier, right. Okay.
By October or sooner.
Okay.
Let's see here. Just had some cleanups and typos.
Where does the, do we have a deadline, or do we give them an amount of time for the cleanup? I'm sorry. Is there a specific time, or we don't have?
No.
180 days to finish, right? Basically the...
Yeah, I mean, well, they will be, I mean, at that point, from the developer standpoint, once they're proceeding to construction, it's in their, under this model, it's in their best interest to move as quickly as possible because they have people that are holding contracts waiting to want to move in.
Right. If they've got 20% sales, that means they've got enough money to create what they need to do to construction. Otherwise, it'd be a no-go decision.
But our plan development process, doesn't that, once they get their plan development permit, how long are we going to keep that open?
So when they get their plan development permit, so let's assume they submit by November 30th, everybody's going to be, you got the holidays, you're going to have a month or two of staff review, you're probably looking at a public hearing sometime February and March, maybe board approval, let's say, by April 1st. And so if you're working off of April 1st, you have 9 months before you have to come in for building permit under our current regulations.
Okay. 6 months later, you have to be under construction. You have up to 33 months to complete construction.
Okay.
This agreement has
to, so they're not going to have to reapply.
Right.
What is it, Carol?
I mean, we're not going to talk about reapplying for this plan development permit because they have enough time between when that permit that would be approved by the board and they actually start construction. Hopefully. Okay. Okay.
All right,
is that all the changes from?
I think that's the major changes.
I think those are it. I'm just letting double check the other document here. Talked about the insurance policy.
So they are still putting their portion of the insurance policy?
That's
why it's
coming out of the TIF funds. And again, give me 1 second. We've cleaned up the defaults considerably to make it, I think, a lot simpler in that regard. So really, you're really just talking about
one thing in 404A. The developer's not committed to just doing condo.
Yes.
Isn't the market now going rental though? I mean,
apartments.
Yeah.
More, but it's a different. It's typically a different product.
Where are you saying that?
It was in the draft. It's not this one. Well, I mean, the language is the red line. Always.
So I'm confused. What's your question?
No, because I like the option of the more flexibility they have, the more likely this project gets done. So I'm concerned that we're now committed to just condo. And does that impact financing and everything else? I mean,
that's implications up and down. But generally, the apartment product is a different model. It's a much smaller average size unit. Tends to be an amenity-filled building when fewer of the deals are doing in part. We think this market has the best uses, plus or minus 2,000 square foot condo, which is what our program calls for right now. And selling somebody in 2030, it's the
So, Marty, I'm going to ask you to get to the microphone because I'm sure people will want to hear this. So when we're there, if you can repeat that. Well, let's get through these questions, and then we'll get you to the microphone so that anybody listening to this can hear you.
Yeah. And I believe, just going through both documents, I think those are the substantive changes that we made. We just talked about the default, the $35,000. Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay. So any questions on any of the changes from Friday? They were minor, but some significant. Okay, so I think at this time we'll ask Marty to come up, if you don't mind, to the podium and just, you know, we all know you personally as a resident and as a friend, but we'd like to know a little bit about you as a developer. So if you can give us a little bit about you and your background and your company, and then maybe a little bit about how you see this project unfolding, we'd appreciate it.
So I think I've probably met everyone in here, but as Kathy said, you know me personally, but not a lot about our company. My company is Sedgwick Properties Development Corporation. We're a vertically integrated real estate development company, construction company, and design company. So we do the design in-house with our staff, and we'll do the general contracting in-house with our staff, and then we do the development management in-house with our staff. With all the integrated companies, we also run our own carpentry division as well. So with all those related companies, we have a team of about 50 people that are involved in the project. We do go to third party for sales and marketing, so our sales and marketing efforts will be done by a third party. We're in a selection process of the third party here, but we haven't finalized the contract yet as a result of the fact that we're just finishing the redevelopment agreement and trying to acquire the last parcel. So that's kind of a general highline of our company. Before the recession, we were doing almost all for sale condo. Since the recession, we've done retail, for sale condo, and apartment product, mostly apartment product. We think the Chicago metro market, we like the supply and demand dynamics better of for sale condos right now than apartments. Downtown Chicago, they're delivering about 15,000 apartments over the last plus or minus 4 years, and probably about less than 1,000 condos. So we like building into the supply and demand dynamics right now of the condo market. We think the highest and best use for this site is for sale housing. Kathy's told me she doesn't want to hear if we find out otherwise, but if everyone comes to us in the first 3 months of trying to sell and says we would rather spend $6,000 a month in rent than pay $800,000 for a condo, we'll obviously tell you guys. But our research tells us that these are going to be unit owners, and there's a strong empty nester population that will be interested in what we'll be developing here, and that's the user profile that we're expecting for this product. Since people are taking notes, I don't want to tell us all the secrets, just from a standpoint that part of being able to be successful on this deal will be a pre-sale phase, which will be done all off market, and it'll be kind of individual reach out with our sales and marketing team to the brokers that represent most of the buyers in the market. When you end up studying markets like this, you see there's 10 or 20 brokers that represent 50 or 70% of the buyers that would be interested in your product. Giving them the right look and getting them interested and having them on your team helping sell it, even if they're not your listing broker, is an important part of how it works. I could talk for an hour, but yeah. I'll field questions.
So are we paying your overhead? If we're paying the architectural fees at the committed funds, is that for the employee you have on staff?
Well, it doesn't directly pay the employee, but some of the design work will be done in-house. We also use third-party consultants.
Right, but the in-house design work is going to be paid for out of committed funds.
In-house design work would be work that I think qualifies under the RDA.
TIF, right.
How are you doing on financing? Where are you on that?
Well, we haven't done much on financing. Typically for our deals in this cycle, we'll acquire the land with bridge financing and related party equity, and then we'll get construction financing and usually institutional equity. The apartment deals, we work with institutional partners. Condo deals don't work as well with institutional capital. So there is institutional capital in that market, but it's a smaller pool to work with. There's a smaller deal with the TIF money. It's fairly capital efficient. One of the things that's attractive of a deal like that is there's some support coming from the village, so that helps on the capitalization. When you sit in my seat, one of the things you try to do on these deals is limit variables to limit risk. So we're pretty pretty proficient, I think, at best practices on approaching these things. I think it's unlikely we'll get a product delivered here that the market doesn't want. The pre-sales will tell us and ensure that we're developing something that has demand here already.
And the way we'll capitalize it, I think we'll provide a lot of safety to the overall deal.
What's the percentage of, what's the threshold for pre-sales in order to get financing?
Right now in the market, it runs between like 30 and 50%. We're early in this part of the condo cycle. It's harder to get buyers to sign contracts early. It's one of the big hurdles in District House, which I think is one of the new developments, at least close to this market, that's been successful. So that's one of the ones we did the most work studying. But since they put that shell up, they sold like 5 units in the last 6 or 7 weeks. So there's been a big transition. But it was work to get those pre-sales. They got 40, I think. I think they were like somewhere between 11 and 13. It was hard to get an exact straight story out of 28 units. What we're seeing on our other for sale deals right now is the sales process is long. Buyers come on and they show interest. They'll sign a reservation sometimes. As a developer, a reservation's never really of much value. You want to get directly to contract. But we don't have the same sense of urgency right now in the market.
How individualized would you make the units? Would some people be able to combine?
Hey, Susan, can you talk into your mic just?
Sorry. How individualized would the units become? Could some of people combine units?
So we'll provide a lot of flexibility. Part of having an integrated system like we have is we're willing and able to provide that level of flexibility. It's never as easy a process as people want it to be, but we would. We have, at times when we were doing a lot more condo projects before the downturn, had our own in-house design staff, in-house interior design staff that would help with the customization. Right now we'd hire a third party to help with that, to support, but we'll try to do whatever we can to make a sale. It's going to be one of the challenges in this market, flexibility. It's hard for the market to understand the costs related to customization. This is going to be a cost-sensitive market. We're competing for labor with the downtown deals. The apartment boom has pushed up cost of construction significantly. Every time we look at a deal out in the suburbs, the challenge is you need to sell it for how much per foot, and everyone's eyes kind of bug out, but that's the labor market we're competing in. Mm-hmm. But similar price per foot is what District House got, is what we'll have to do. So there's some precedent in the market that'll be successful.
And so how many units are you anticipating?
We think somewhere between 20 and 30.
And how will you make the decision based on your pre-sales?
We'll see how the market's receiving it. It's not going to be a super hard line, because if velocity is higher, you can do more, right? We're gonna be extrapolating out what we think our sales pace will be throughout. We'll be studying kind of how District House did, and, you know, every week they go further, we have more knowledge, more information about how that sales process is going. There's not as many suburban deals to study. It's a different market than the city, so we're used to working in the city. There's much deeper demand, so it's going to be thinner demand.
In terms of the commercial space, what do you envision as a resident? What do you hope would be in there?
Well, I think we're very underserved from a retail standpoint in the market here. So I think there's a lot of opportunity to fill it. I see, you know, I think we all know that we tend to go outside the community for a lot of the restaurant type uses. I think, you know, from the white tablecloth to the quick service casual restaurants, the uses all in between there can be successful. We'd like to try to, in Tim's early plans, there was a lot of outdoor space and outdoor seating. So we see like patio cafe uses that
You'll
we'll try
continue
to.
Continue with that plan? It's
going to be a different concept than Tim's original plan, but one of the ideas that I saw in that plan that I think we all thought made sense was the outdoor cafe use. I think that would be nice there. I think we'd all probably like some place in the community we could walk to and have that kind of use. But the market's going to tell us who wants to be there. But I think there's a lot of, I think retail is, you know, pretty underserved in River Forest. Problem with retail is retailers feed on retailers, and there's not a lot of retailers in the market. So that's what we have to overcome. But that's a part of the project that Tim will lead for us as a retail, and we're here to kind of be the residential expert. There's more in the residential of this deal, so it's more accountable to lead more of it than Tim is.
Does First, Bank of Forest Park, do they still have an option to get the corner? I couldn't remember what was talking to Patty today about it. Do they still have an option on the corner? Or
I'm not familiar with any formal option, but I think there's some kind of informal agreement.
I don't know. It was part of the deal to get the Ashland property, so I don't know if it was in that contract or not.
I have not seen it formally being in there. I haven't been told there's a formal option. I haven't seen it myself. But we're not going to chase away any retailers. We'll have a lot of space to fill. I mean, it's going to be between, you know, 10 and 14,000 square feet of retail, depending on how much outdoor cafe and how much you fill in all that space.
I think the biggest issue was not necessarily if the bank was going to have a whatever you call it, branch there. It was if they were going to take that corner.
Yeah, that was.
And I think that was the, did they have the right of first refusal of that corner? But, you know, we'll let you guys wrangle that.
Yeah, I mean, well, the banks do tend not to be exactly the type of user. I mean,
right.
People need banks, but that's really not kind of my vision for what we can try to create there. I think there's a lot of restaurant-type uses that would be much more.
Salons?
Well, the can I ask a question on the retail, Marty?
Yeah.
Will they be for-sale-type units so that they'd be condo units so people, you know, sometimes folks don't want to lease. They want to actually purchase the retail space as far as, like, a condo-type deal. Is that something you've
This project will be a for-sale project kind of from A to Z. Typically, okay. With retail, you get your highest and best use leasing it and then selling it, but we'll have no problem selling it to someone if, you know, if the problems with leasing and selling is you pay the lease commission, then the sales commission. So if we can get that in the first swing, that's usually a win-win.
Okay. Is the 29th of September doable, achievable, and are we going to see this closed? That's what I want to know. I ask that question every meeting, and every time I get the same answer, I want to know. Are we going to, we're going to
closing El Safar property?
Yes.
That thing's been a miserable thing to deal with. I think it's in good shape, but we've kind of made our own, we've kind of been a little bit of our own worst enemy on that because he was ready to close by the 1st, then maybe the 15th. I mean, he slipped all over. Kathy will tell you I was very hard on him in the one face-to-face meeting we had with him, but he knows he has us. If we want to do a development there, we got to work with his site. So everything I understand is he wants to sell it now, and he's ready to go, and he just wants his money, and he's gotten everything he wanted. But
how about the plan development application?
I think the plan development application won't be too difficult. I told you a little bit about our company. We'll run this project. We have director of business development. He stays involved in the deal all the way till we capitalize it, so he'll be the senior guy involved through the PD application. We have a development project manager who'll be the lead guy doing the legwork on the application.
But somebody just sit there right now, right there, right as you sit there right now, you're not even sure that you can hit the dates in this agreement, like the application process?
Well, I don't think we'll have any problems with the application process, but I don't know it personally in depth.
And just something else I noticed from the difference from Friday to today. In the 203E, the old version, sorry for interrupting, but I don't want to forget this. The old version attempts to describe the insurance policy, and you took that out. Is that any reason?
Could you address that, the additional insurance?
Oh, for us?
Yeah, so there's no, at this point, the seller, they are not, based on their negotiations with the insurance company, are unable to list us as additional insured. Same with the developer. I'm actually making another. I've inquired again on that with the property owner's agent. I'm hoping to actually speak to the insurance company before we go to close on the 20, before we close prior to the 29th. But right now there's no contractual obligation to do so because the insurance company has not agreed to it.
So, in other words, the $40,000 that we're committing would only insure El Safar?
Correct.
So, any further questions for Mr. Paris regarding the development? Okay.
Can we ask any questions?
Well, I would prefer not, Sandra. I mean, if you've got something you want to talk to Marty, you could do that offline if you don't mind, unless you want to make a citizen's comment. I allow you to do that. Okay. Thank you.
Just in terms of the design plans, has anything been drawn up? Have you done any design plans in-house at this point?
I don't have it. I haven't seen them yet, but they're working on drawing them. we had a kickoff meeting about a week and a half ago.
Your staff have started.
Yeah. Our process really starts where we have to give the designer is not make us a pretty picture of a building. It's how many three bedrooms, how big are the three bedrooms, what areas of the building do you want them, what size do you want the retail, what type of users are you trying to accommodate. So we call that the program. The development management team works with sales and marketing group to create the program that we think is the highest likelihood of selling and being successful. We can adjust it as we get market feedback. But then we had that program off to the design group, and they're putting it in place, wrestling with things like, are we going to do underground parking? Are we going to do two levels behind the retail? Things like that. Trying to work that back with the feedback about what the remediation cost is and what are the different options of how you remediate them. Details like that are kind of what we're at the conceptual level of putting together now.
So there's a possibility you won't remediate the whole property?
Well, it depends what remediation is, right? We're going to get a no further NFR letter, I think is what's required. In general, you just put concrete over the top of stuff to remediate. That qualifies you for the NFR letter. How exactly this one will work and how much we're taking out, those are all details that we're still working through.
The property will be remediated.
That was my impression too. I thought the whole point of this process was to deal with the contamination.
This will not be a slab on grade remediation. The property will be treated and remediated.
The soil will be removed and taken too.
The property will be remediated.
So, okay. Absolutely. There's no debate about that. That is the reason for the $1.9 million is to remediate. Demolish and remediate the property. So that's the intent of this contract.
NFR letter, right?
Remediation.
Well, are you going to build residential condos and have commercial property?
Yes.
Then I would assume you need to remediate it.
Well, I'm not an environmental expert, so I don't want to take the debate too far, but we're going to do what needs to be done for residential condos, and we're going to get an NFR letter, I think, which is what our obligations are under that. I haven't really had the first, the guy who did the work, right, Jack Hughes, is no longer with us, or unfortunately, he was our go-to environmental contractor for years. I've worked with Jack for 20 years and said that he isn't with us any longer. And we're going to transition, I think, to another local group, but we're in that process.
403B in your agreement says remediation is defined as the physical demolition of buildings and treatment of the soil to eliminate contaminated materials. Developers shall demolish all surface and subsurface improvements in the remediation of unstable and unsuitable soil conditions necessary for the construction, use, and operation of the project.
Residential.
Agreed. Second.
Okay. Very good. Glad we got through that. All right. Any further questions for Marty or regarding this project? And I'm glad you went on record to say you agree, Marty, because before we vote on this, I just want to state that you could tell the heightened frustration of some of the board members for all good reason. We've been at it for a long time, and it's at no fault of you and I have chatted about this. Of Sedgwick, but of other things that have happened. But we're here now, and I believe this contract represents what this $1.9 million is supposed to do, and that is acquire the property, demolish the property, remediate the property, and put a development on the property. And I believe the intent of this contract does just that. And frankly, I'm glad you're part of it. Being a resident, you will have a special affinity for this project, I'm sure, along with Tim Hague. So in all, if we're going to pick a developer, I'm glad it's residents because it will be important. So I am pleased where we're at with this. I'm glad it's you, and I am very bullish on the fact that this is going to be successful because I think you're a qualified developer and you've done this before. For all those reasons, I is asking the board to vote for this, hopefully unanimously, so we can move forward and get something developed in the next 12 months. So, with that, I'd like to ask the clerk to take the vote.
Trustee Conti.
I have high hopes, yes.
Trustee Hennig.
I agree as well that I have high hopes. I'm new to this, so I don't have the history of some of the frustration, but I appreciate where people are coming from, and so I do think time is of the essence, and we are very hopeful that this will be successful for everybody, including all the residents, probably most importantly. So yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
I have been around for a lot of this, and it would be very easy to get cynical in this situation because it's been going on so long. Not so much with you, Marty, but I'm still bringing positive optimism to the plan. I don't see substantial change. I still think the paperwork still covers the village like we're responsible to do. So I vote yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Don't disappoint us. Don't disappoint the residents. We've wrangled with this and struggled this for a long time. It's a difficult thing to do. I feel comfortable that staff has and legal has done everything that they can to make this a go. And I don't want to be in this position again, so I'm going to vote yes now, but let's not come back to this table because it's not going to be pretty.
Trustee Karchi.
I hate this agreement. It's too sided in favor of the developer. When a municipality commits TIF funds to a developer, they're entitled to believe that they're joining someone that is committed, feels the same urgency they do, and feel that they're a partner. I haven't seen any of that from this. I mean, we just got changes to the agreement today from the developer side. So there's no urgency at all. I mean, I was shocked to learn that you don't even have a concept design yet. I was shocked to learn you haven't sense of financing yet. I admit I'm not a developer, but you've been sitting on this deal for a long time. We sent you the proposed amendment that would extend the deadlines in July, and you didn't get back to us until August. The commitment side is the part that actually concerns me the most, because everything in this agreement defers your commitment until after every duck lines up, so that the village is the one that bears all the risk in this case. You're not even willing to pay the cost of your own employees for the architecture. That, to me, is a concern. Another concern is that the village is now required to add an additional $40,000 to the pot, and yet your firm gets to use the committed funds, which is, again, tax dollars. And the last is the partner part, and I think that we're currently not viewed as a partner, but rather we're just viewed as a pot of money that you can keep drawing off of until you finally decide whether or not this is going to be perfect. That said, it's just some costs. I mean, at this point now, we've got so much invested in this, so much time and so much effort on the part of staff. And I would also point out that most of the accomplishments that have been made so far in this, which is the property acquisition, is more attributable, from what I've observed, is more attributable to Eric and Bill's staff than it is to the developer. So that's a concern as well. Hopefully we'll see better improvement, but I can assure you that this is the last extension I'm going to vote for on this agreement. So I will vote yes.
Motion passed.
Okay. Okay, very good. So we know executive session, right? So Marty, we've passed it, and so we're going to adjourn. So if I can have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Oh.